that the world was going to end, and I got excited and thought, I don't have to speak this morning. So I woke up alive this morning, and here we are. And well, it's good to be here. And I know there's a burning question that you have had all week, and I'm here to answer that question. Maybe. I know you've all wanted to know how to catch a monkey. And because I want to be versatile, I want to give you two different ways to catch a monkey this morning. The traditional way is to hollow out a coconut, tie a string to it, tie the string around a tree or a stake, and then fill that hollowed out coconut with peanuts. And when the monkey comes by, sees the peanuts, will reach in and grab the peanuts and will not let go. And with a fist full of peanuts, he can't get his hand out of the coconut, and he's stuck. And from all the experts that I've read about on the internet, we know it's true. They say then you just walk up and get a monkey. If you don't happen to have peanuts, there's another option. You can find a tree that's hollowed out and put a banana in it, just large enough to get the banana in. And again, the monkey will go up to the tree, stick his hand in, grab the banana, and won't be able to get away because his hand's stuck, and then you can just walk up and pick up the monkey. Now, some of you are thinking, and this has to do with church how? Well, I like to find obscure ways to tie into Scripture, and I found one. There's been a passage that has intrigued me over the last couple of weeks, and I've looked at it, studied it, and so here we go today. I want to set it up this way. As she entered the cemetery, her eyes were red and swollen because she'd been crying for days. Sleep had not come easily. Her world had turned upside down. That morning she stumbled in to find the graveyard was in disarray. And the body that she went to visit was gone. Her name's Mary Magdalene. And as Mary sat in the garden, or sat there by the tomb, wondering where the body of Jesus had gone, she heard somebody speak to her. And for years, I wondered, why did she not just look up? And then, again, over the last few days, it's dawned on me, she was had to be so distraught. And you can imagine the tears and the anguish that she had experienced. She probably wasn't looking up and not paying attention and may not have been able to see clearly. And she heard what she thought was the voice of a gardener. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying, and who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, just tell me where you put him, and I'll go get him." And Jesus said, "Mary," and that's all it took. And she turned toward him and cried out, "Rabboni, teacher." All the pain at that point disappeared. Suddenly her body was energized as she heard her master speak to her. And you can only imagine how she must have leaped up ready to run and grab Jesus. And he said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had done these things to her. Those words seem awfully harsh to me. "Don't hold on to me. Don't grab me. Don't, you know, you can't touch me, Mary." Of everything she's gone through, why did Jesus tell her that? And then I got to thinking, things have changed. It was no longer the time or the place for Mary to hold on to the Jesus that she had experienced during his time of ministry. It was no longer time to hold on to the physical representation of God the Father. It was time for Jesus to go so he could come back and fill her and all of his people. But it could only happen if she let go, if she didn't hold on. And this morning, I want to challenge us to think about and to accept and even to act on the fact that there are a lot of things that we just need to let go of in order for God to work through us. Whatever experiences that Mary had with Jesus, they were all good and they were wonderful and powerful because, you know, she was there. She experienced miracles. She probably saw people raised from the dead. She saw the Messiah in action. And I believe what Jesus was telling her at this point is, Mary, don't hold on to those things. It's time to move on. It's time to move to something bigger and better. It's time for you to let go of this physical body who is not God and let God inhabit you and let him come inside you. But you're going to have to let go of some things. And for us in our world and in our families and our communities, we need to let go. Whatever things there are that we have defined how God works in our lives, those have all been good and wonderful. But it's a new day. And it's time to let go of whatever's defined us and allow God to be the one to define who we are and what we do and how we live. And there's somebody that I think has got some words to help us with that. His name was Peter. You know, Peter didn't let go of things easily. He was always in trouble, always acting when he should have been listening. You know, or sometimes, well, he never listened when he should have acted. So I kind of like him. But there's a passage over in 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, that I think gives us some direction on how to let go so we can live the way God has designed for us to live now that he's left this earth. He says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Well, this is a scriptural sermon, so there are 3 points. First point, that was a joke. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. An external way of letting go so God can work through us and transform us is to clothe ourselves with compassion, with humility. The passage there, the word choice there, is one that Peter chose that lots of folks in that world would have recognized. Because it means literally put on an apron. Get ready to serve. And not just any apron, but the apron of a slave. So in order for us to let go of who we are and our prejudices and all of our stuff, the challenge is to become a servant. To focus on serving the people that God places in front of us every moment of every day. Unqualified. It doesn't matter who they are, from whence they came, or what they've done. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what they believe or don't believe. Our call, our challenge, the thing that we have to let go of is deciding who is worthy of service and who isn't. Of us deciding what we should and shouldn't do. You know, the scripture says, to him who knows to do good and does it not, that's a sin. The challenge to clothe ourselves with humility is to serve as Jesus served. To minister, not to be ministered to, but to see the opportunities that are in front of us and just to step through the door. And do whatever it is that needs to be done. But to let go of what we want to control and just do it, as Michael Jordan would have said. The next thing is internal. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up. Again, the term there that's key is God's mighty hand. All throughout Jewish history, whenever the term is used of God's mighty hand, it's talking about God's all-powerful presence in his action. The almighty hand of God that delivered Israel from bondage. The almighty hand of God that separated the Red Sea. The almighty hand of God that spoke from Mount Sinai and filled that place with smoke. The hand of God that raised Jesus from the dead. The hand of God that healed those who couldn't hear and gave speech to those who couldn't speak. Who brought people out of tombs and gave the walking dead life again. It's the mighty hand of God that can work through us and in us. Whenever we allow ourselves to let go of our own definitions of who we are or who we should be, is to accept our values and our origins and to know that God has created us and he has placed us here for his time. You know, like the phrase to Esther, who knows but that you have been put here for such a time as this. And we all live differently and in different worlds and move in different circles of folks. But the key is, no matter where we are or what we do, is to live humbly under God's hand. And in due time, God will be the one to do the raising up. God will be the one to acknowledge the good. We don't have to manufacture ways for recognition. We just need to leave that to God. Don't worry about who gets noticed or if you get recognized for the good you do. Just do good. And the rest will take care of itself. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge to understand the power that's been put within us. There's a quote that has been attributed to Nelson Mandela, and I've used it here before, but I think it's been over 5 years, so I'm outside the statute of limitations. And the quote really comes from Marianna Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we were powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? I ask that question every morning. Actually, we are not to be. You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And that comes as we live and walk humbly before God, asking him to do through us whatever it is he chooses to do, and saying, God, I give you control of my life. I give you the choices. You just put me in the situation so I know where to step through. You help me speak the words that you put on my lips. You help me walk where I need to go. You help me hug the people that need to be hugged. You help me be all that you want me to be. And help me not to be afraid. And help me not to be shy. And help me not shirk away. That's the God that says, let go. And let me come inside you and step back and watch. Because you're going to be amazed. And then there's the third. And it's an eternal perspective of letting go. And that's just cast all your anxieties on him. Because he cares for you. It's the fact that if you've been hurt this week, it's time to just let go. All right? I'm going to point to you next time, so it'll be your time. All right? If somebody has betrayed you this week, it's time to what? All right. A little more enthusiasm next time. If you've been mistreated this week, it's time to let go. If you've been afraid of the future, it's time to. If you've been lied to this week, it's time to. If you've harbored resentment this week, it's time to. If you've struggled with pain from the past this week, it's time to. It's time to let go. It's time to turn it over to God. Most of us suffer with a cancer that builds inside of us of struggling with things that have happened that we can't change. We can't do anything about them. We can't change the past. All we have is the power of believing in a God of the present and of the future. And we have to let go if we're going to live. We're going to have to let go. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. And we learn from history, but it doesn't capture us. We don't become prisoners of our pain. If we do, we haven't let go. And we're just like a monkey with his hand stuck in a tree. We're captive and we're not going to go anywhere and we're going to starve to death because we're too obstinate to open our hand and let it go. Peter's challenge to us is to clothe ourselves with humility, humble ourselves, and cast our anxiety on Him. The power of God comes only when we let go. The power that transformed after Jesus resurrected came only when everything physical, everything known was let go. And where God went from being external to internal, and it changed everything at that point to be eternal. If you're struggling this week, if you're lost, if you're miserable, if you can't understand what's going on, let go. And I want to tell you, this isn't like President Reagan's wife, what was her name? Nancy Reagan. You know, back in the days of, she was going to stop all the drug stuff by saying, just say no. We all know how well that worked. Words have power, but there was no power behind it. Let go has power because there is the God of all creation standing behind us, in front of us, and within us saying, just let go and let me. Let me use you. Let me touch you. Let me help you. Let me show you what you can be if you'll just let go, open your hand, drop the peanuts you're holding on to, and let me change your life and your world for my sake. That's the God that we serve this morning. That's the God that we struggle every day to follow. And if you do not know Him and you want to this morning, we want to invite you to respond and we'll help. We'll talk to you about that and help you go there and join us in the journey. But if we can help you anyway this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing this song.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please be seated.